Cats.
Yo, 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 it's the Game Time Show, bro. I'm Keith.
And I'm Steve.
And we'll be your bros for the evening. This is our E3 2016 special where we count down our top 10 games of E3. Steve, how you feeling?
I'm good, Keith. The microphone looks like it's a little bigger.
Yeah.
Last time I was here.
Yeah, we got new mics. This is actually the first podcast in which we're using better mics. We've got mic stands instead of those makeshift mic arms that Jay made out of our IKEA lamps.
IKEA furniture, right?
Yes, yes. So, I mean, I'm hoping this sounds a little bit better.
It's really on us, Keith. We have to continue to provide rich content for the listeners.
Yeah, with rich sound. All right, so here's what we're going to do, Steve. You and I created a list of about 20 games. We ranked those 20 games, and then I took the average, and this is our top 10 games of E3.
Yeah, and you did a little more homework than me because you actually watched, I think, all the demos for these games, or at least the press conferences.
I did. I should have been working. I should have been sleeping.
Yeah. Some of mine, I'll admit, were more based on just my familiarity with the series that already exists.
Perfect. Well, I mean, so then we can kind of, we represent two different camps, the people who already saw it.
Yep.
And are now kind of trying to form opinions on it. And then the people who haven't seen it. So you can ask me questions. I can fill you in a little bit.
All right.
But let's get this started with our number 10 game. You actually ranked it 19. I ranked it 4, averaging for a 10. This is Resident Evil 7 Biohazard.
So isn't Biohazard what they called Resident Evil in Japan?
Yeah, so because of trademarks, I think they couldn't call it Biohazard in the US, but so this is their way of kind of skirting that and kind of bringing them together.
I like it.
Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. I didn't like Resident Evil 5. I didn't like Resident Evil 6. Why?
You're really high on this game.
I'm very high on this game, and you know why?
Why?
VR.
Virtual reality?
Virtual reality. This
Troopers?
This game is going to come to PlayStation VR. There was actually a demo for PlayStation VR called Kitchen, which was actually a demo for Resident Evil.
Kitchen.
So it was, you were exploring a kitchen that was kind of creepy, and the reason I'm so high on this is that you can play the entire game in VR.
Wow.
So it's, I,
how are you going to get footage of Stevie doing that and freaking out?
We'll just film him on the stupid VR.
It
and
might
put
be
him,
even better.
Yeah.
Don't put the video feed in it. Just him. Just reaction shots.
So I think that has the potential to be like the most immersive VR experience that comes out for PlayStation VR at launch. And now I'm thinking about perhaps dropping the $400 on a VR set.
Wow.
But you're not so high on Resident Evil, Steve.
I'm not, and I feel bad. It's one of Sweeney's all-time favorite franchises. And I don't know, maybe survival horror just isn't my bag. I don't know what it was about Resident Evil 4, a beloved game. I just couldn't get into it, and I've been told that if I didn't like Resident Evil 4, don't even try the first three or Code Veronica or anything like that. So I've stayed away from the series ever since then. I hope it's awesome. Like, I hope I'm one day excited to play this based on reviews and feedback, but we'll see.
I just want that jump scare VR experience.
Yeah, that might.
So I'm totally, you know, if this didn't have VR, this would be way lower on my list. What do we got at number 9, Steve?
Number 9 is a game we brought up long ago on this podcast, back in our infancy, and that's Yooka-Laylee.
Yes.
The kickstarted game by Rare, I think.
No, so it's by Playtonic Games.
Not by Rare, but by the guys behind.
They worked for Rare,
right,
and they helped develop Banjo-Kazooie, so this is the spiritual successor. And
there was an unhappy split, I guess, in the company. Or maybe it was a happy one. I don't know.
Well, what is Rare doing now? Sea of Thieves? That looks like shit. All right.
Yeah, that also
What excites you about Yooka-Laylee?
Just a good old-fashioned platforming. It's been a while since we've had kind of a fun, cartoony, non-Mario game where you jump around on different platforms, collect things, collect little musical notes. I don't know that you're going to do that in this game.
Did you watch the trailer for this that came out, I think, June 6th?
If it came out recently, no, I did not.
Okay. All right. No, so
explain to me.
Well, so you got a good taste of the different kind of levels. Like, you know how Banjo-Kazooie had like themed worlds, like Click Clock Wood and like the Frosty one. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the names. Like,
there's that swamp.
Yeah. And then there was that clank alligators. Shark thing.
Yep.
Made of metal.
That one was one of my favorites.
I should play it again, so I remember those, but I saw a bunch of those. There was one that looked like sort of like the snow level, but, also there was like a snowy castle, in the background. The levels looked a lot bigger though, which is could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. The graphics are about as like fun and cartoony as they can get. I read a comment somewhere on the trailer that said, "This is the most video gamey video game I've seen in the last like 20 years." Which,
wow.
You know,
it's a good thing.
He's exaggerating a bit. Let's say the last 10 years, sure. But I kind of echo that sentiment. It'll bring me back to the glory days of the Nintendo 64 and 3D platforming. I can't wait for it. I wish there was a bigger presence with it for E3.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's just nice to see platformers back in, maybe not the mainstream. I don't know how well this is going to do, but there was a time back during the PS1 N64 era where we had, like, even on the PS1, we had Croc and Spyro the Dragon and just all these games with cartoony protagonists who jump around onto weird isometric platforms and collect crystals and do shit. I don't know. I like games like this. I'm looking forward to it. It is not exclusive to any console, but is it coming to all three, including the Wii U?
So it's coming to the Wii U, which seems a bit short-sighted at this point with the NX coming out around the time this game releases, which is
early
like,
2017.
Yep. Right? But yeah, Wii U, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Steam, you know, it's coming to everything. It's not exclusive, but I'm very excited. I'll likely play it on, I don't know, PlayStation 4 maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But speaking of PlayStation 4, Steve, what's our number 8 game? You ranked this way higher than I did.
Yeah, I had this number 5, and it's kind of, I feel silly for doing so because maybe 10 E3s ago, I could have ranked it number 5 as well.
Yeah, it came out in 2000. It started development in 2007.
Okay,
it was.
So this is its.
It was revealed E3. At E3 2009.
Its 10th year. I'm sorry.
Yes.
This is. Boy, I feel like we should really drag out this reveal now. No, this is The Last Guardian from Team ECO, makers of ECO and Shadow of the Colossus, obviously on the PlayStation 2. This was originally due out, The Last Guardian, on the PS3. They've apparently spent an entire console life cycle working on it because Team ECO, to my knowledge, didn't release anything on the PS3. I think their last release was Shadow of the Colossus over 10 years ago, and now finally, not only is this game actually coming out, it has a release date only like 4 months from now.
Yep, October 25th, 2016.
So that's right when a lot of games are coming out on this list, kind of early holiday season.
Yeah, so the one thing I will say is that although I think PlayStation had the better slate of games at E3,
mm-hmm.
most of them are coming in 2017. PlayStation needs some holiday games, and this was like one of the ones that they could get in on time. It does seem like they're a little bit close to a bunch of like AAA titles. We'll see how this one does.
Yeah.
But what excites you about it?
Well, have you ever played ECO or Shadow of the Colossus?
I played ECO for like 10 minutes, and I was like, this is fucking so obtuse, I feel like. I don't know what's going on. I don't really like the look of it at this point. I don't like how it controls. I thought it controlled like shit.
I think it's aged poorly. To me, ECO was kind of like the predecessor to that wave of indie games that kind of started coming out on PSN and Xbox Live Arcade in the late 2000s.
Yep.
Whether that's Braid or Limbo or Bastion, for instance. Just kind of an artsy game.
Mm-hmm.
Artsy fartsy.
Yep.
Very much a clear-cut story, but kind of with elements open to interpretation.
Yep.
No dialogue. I don't think any written word maybe like the instruction manual had the background of the game, kind of like you'd get way back in the 1980s when, you know, you didn't know that Mario and Peach were in the Mushroom Kingdom unless you read that in the little manual that came with the game, because they never revealed that in game.
Yeah, isn't that how you figured out Yoshi's real name was like T. Yoshisaur, like Bunch of Koopas or some shit?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Muncha Koopas?
Muncha Koopas, sure.
Because he likes to eat them and spit out the shells.
Sure.
So did you ever play Shadow of the Colossus then?
No, not really. I started with Eco because I thought it came out first.
It did.
So yeah, I didn't like it, and I was like, never mind. The one thing about The Last Guardian is I think it looks like shit. Like, it very much looks like a PS3 game.
Yeah, and that is a little frustrating because, not that graphics are everything, but, you know, if you're going to release a game that looks 5 to 10 years old, maybe release it 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the long development on this game means they've just really spent a lot of time making it awesome. I know in reality, it's probably that they had a lot of issues and creative control and other situational, I don't know, dilemmas that came up and forced them maybe not to, get it out on time.
All right, well, you're excited for it.
I am. I liked Shadow of the Colossus better than Eco. I liked both games. I don't think I loved either one as much as most people, but the hype has been strong on this one for 10 years now, to the point where a lot of people thought we were never going to see it. So I'm excited, if nothing else, to just finally see this game, this third game from the guys who brought us Eco and Shadow of the Colossus.
All right, so from one game that was announced 10 years ago to another game that was just announced but probably won't be released for 10 years, our number 7 game is Death Stranding. Kojima's new game, Kojima Productions. Kojima came on the stage like a fucking boss. I don't know if you've seen like the X-Men movie, but when Magneto walks across like pieces of metal that he brings under his feet to get like through, get to that, get away from his plastic jail.
Yeah, that's, was it the first X-Men?
Yeah, that's probably the first X-Men. So anyway, he's coming out like this, the floor he's standing on is a screen, but he's going too fast. So like, if this was real, he'd be falling into the abyss. But anyway, it's so clear how full of himself he is, but that's what makes him Kojima. His game is so fucking weird. It's not going to be out forever. But when I watched,
no idea what this game is. So I watched the teaser for it.
Yeah. So, and you still don't know. What you've got is a naked Norman Reedus who has an umbilical cord attached to a baby. Then you see his stomach, and it looks like he might have had a C-section, but he's a dude. So I can't. Right. I don't think he can have babies. Although that's sort of hinted at in the trailer.
World building.
And then you see all these like beached whales.
Yeah. It seems like he has just woken up on the beach.
Yeah.
Like, whether from a shipwreck or just landed there, Lost style, I don't know.
Yeah. So all they did was really set up a world in which, you know, they're on the brink of like everything dying out, and he thought he saw a baby, but he didn't. It kind of screamed Children of Men to me a little bit. The movie with Clive Owen.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
I'm super interested because of how cinematic Kojima's games are, because this is a very interesting world that I want to know more about. I don't really care about Norman Reedus as much as most people do.
Yeah, that's one thing I was kind of confused about is when video games are at the point now where graphically you can fully recreate a person. Like, I saw a screen cap, I think, of the game on some article and said, that looks like a slightly Asian Norman Reedus. What is this? And continued reading and was like, oh, wait, that is just a graphical recreation of a CGI Norman Reedus, basically. I have no idea what this game is going to be about. Do we even know many details?
We don't. Let's just assume it's, you know, like action adventure-y, like whatever you would call Metal Gear Solid. It's going to have tons of cutscenes, and Kojima's going to go all crazy Kojima. Totally incoherent. But I'm excited. Like, this is the way to get someone like me hyped. You didn't show me much, but what you did show me was fucking weird.
Classic teaser.
So number 6 is the game that you ranked above me, Steve.
Yeah, this is our third straight PS4 exclusive, I should say.
It is, yes.
This one's also not due out until 2017.
Yeah, February 28th, I believe.
I'm surprised I had this game ranked higher than you did. It's Horizon Zero Dawn. And it's about robot dinosaurs.
Well, so it's about robot animals.
Okay.
There's a lot of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But there's also like freaking rhinos and shit.
Okay. So if it had been nothing but dinosaurs, would you have ranked it a little higher, you think?
If you switched it and you made it real dinosaurs and robot people, then I would have been way more interested.
Dinosaurs and robots.
What excites you about this game?
You got to play Chrono Trigger. It has dinosaurs and robots.
All right. I'll do it.
All right. What excites me about this one? This is one that was this announced at last E3?
It was.
Okay.
It's Guerrilla Games. They did Killzone.
Yeah, this was just a game that stood out to me. Guerrilla Games, not a huge developer. I know Killzone's a big franchise, but I've never played a Guerrilla Games game as far as I know.
Well, it's basically Killzone in all of, like, the iterations.
And it just looks new and interesting, and I like playing sort of not double A. This is a triple A title. It's got a big budget, but I like playing these triple A games that aren't based on pre-existing IP.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're very interesting. I just played last December, November, just a game called Enslaved.
Yep.
Another one that stands out to me from years ago was Too Human. And it's interesting when people have like what are clearly these passion projects that are very specific visions, and they aren't necessarily games that work out or even make it to a sequel. I know like every game that works at this point has a sequel of some sort, or at least substantial DLC. I don't really know what I'm saying. I'm excited to play an action RPG that has robots and dinosaurs.
Yeah,
it looks really pretty too.
It does look really pretty. The protagonist reminds me of Brave a little bit. You know, she's this redhead who is kind of venturing out to figure out why her world is the way it is. So it seems to be in the future, obviously, because there's technology, but all animals are technology now. So I don't know if the machines have taken over the world and they've had to revert back to not relying on technology at all. And that's why they're sort of in
this kind of
Stone Age. And
it,
I don't know.
It kind of reminds me of, or I should say this other game reminds me of this is another game that was announced. Recore.
Series, yep.
Where it seems like you have robotic animal helpers that you can kind of reconfigure on the fly.
Yeah.
There might be some overlap there when I think about these two games.
I think Horizon Zero Dawn has a much bigger scale. Recore struck me as a bit of a budget title in some ways.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by the world they're setting up, but just I don't need RPG mechanics in every game. I'm a little nervous about why does every game need all these like upgrade trees and. You know, why does everyone need to collect things to like, oh, I got 6 fur balls. Now my sword is 2 strength higher.
So it totally depends how they do this.
Cause yeah.
there's a right way and a wrong way to do essentially a Western RPG, like an action RPG. BioShock was just phenomenal for me, where you kind of upgraded the weapons you wanted to, but it was all based on the same components. You didn't have to find 28 different types of things in order to upgrade obscure little things to tweak on the weapons that do different damage to different. I don't know. I'm with you. I hope this is good. Like God of War has very minor RPG elements where you get to, when you've collected enough orbs, fill up your life meter.
But it,
things of that
nature. It's super streamlined.
Yeah.
That I could deal with. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm not as excited about it as you are. The same could be said for number 5.
Well, that's absolutely true. The number 5 game on our list is my number 1 game, and anyone who's listened to previous episodes of Game Time Bro, which presumably is everyone listening right now, the Game Time Show Bro, sorry. This should come as no surprise to them. I've got Final Fantasy 15. At the top of my list.
Yeah, it's 14 for me. I thought it had a horrible E3 showing. One of the worst I've ever seen.
It was battle footage, right?
Yeah, so they started out on the Xbox conference, and it was just a big, clunky battle. It really felt like a God of War battle, and that like you're fighting this huge, I don't know, golem type guy. Like he looked like he might have been made of rock. Like he's all you can really see is his hand, and then anytime his hand slammed, you like did all these weird fights. I don't know. It was very Final Fantasy to me, but not exciting at all. I thought it was a horrible way to reintroduce the game. I'm sure the game's great. I'm sure you're gonna love it, but I'm less excited after E3.
It's interesting because you say you're sure I'm gonna love it because I've loved previous entries in this franchise. They haven't had a great Final Fantasy game since maybe 2001. When did Final Fantasy X come out?
I think 2001.
Yeah.
At latest 2002.
And some people dismiss FF10 as not being as good as the three PlayStation titles. Final Fantasy IX was great.
Well, do you think it's because they've kind of gone to that like real-time like action combat type of deal that they've been doing?
I do feel that way, but then at the same time I go and I play like a Dragon Quest game and it's agonizingly slow. So yep. I don't know. I liked Final Fantasy 13. I liked Final Fantasy 13 2 even better. There was a lot of well-deserved criticism about Final Fantasy 13 where the game doesn't really open up for the first 20 or 25 hours,
yep.
which really is just not forgivable at this point.
Right.
But I am excited that Florence and the Machine Stand By Me trailer we watched the other month still has me hyped.
Honestly they'd been better off just like ending it there and then letting you wait till September.
Yeah.
Like I don't think what they showed was particularly exciting or reassuring. I'm sure the game's going to be great. They just don't really understand like what's great about their games based on what they showed at E3.
Yeah, and honestly for me, Final Fantasy games have never been, and this is for me, about the combat. Like even back when they were turn-based in 6, 7, 8, that always kind of came second to me, to the world building, the character development, the stories.
Yeah, this story scares me. It's like
I'm terrified.
It's like a boy band in like an American car,
a regular ass car.
Yeah, like a sedan. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
But also, there's chocobos.
And yeah,
also giant airships, and also Stand By Me.
Yeah, chocobos had a big presence at the PlayStation conference. It seemed, if that was a chocobo, it was like an ostrich thing. So yeah, I assume
a
chocobo,
big yellow bird that you would ride like a horse.
Our number four game is God of War.
Yeah,
It looks like they're rebooting this series, which is probably needed. Kratos was one of like the worst characters, like that you just couldn't relate to in any way.
Not only that, he literally killed every Greek god of war by the end of the third game.
So it was kind of done.
Spoiler alert.
This trailer starts off the PlayStation conference, and I see some little kid. He seems to be. I'm thinking this is Horizon because of his surroundings, and he's playing with like a dinosaur toy, it seemed like. And then you hear someone talking, and it's like it was gruff, and like you thought, you know, that I don't know who that is. It's certainly, it's actually a new voice actor, but it is Kratos. And he has a beard, Steve. So
you got a beard.
He's got a beard.
That's where I dropped that one.
Yeah, I know. We're not doing drops right now. But so we have a new Kratos. He has a kid. So presumably, this is probably a passing of the torch game to kind of get us. That would be my assumption.
God of War Jr.
God of War Jr., yeah.
Yeah.
Gods of War.
This game doesn't have a title yet, correct? It's strictly just God of War.
I think that is the title. I think they're rebooting it like a soft reboot because
I hate that.
Yeah, it's a little bit disappointing. I would have
Just call it God of War 4.
And I don't really remember how God of War 3 ends. Does Kratos die?
Yes, but
also
it's the softest, most garbage like, and then at the end that you see bloody footprints walking away from his death scene.
Yeah, so I think I would have rather them call this God of War 4. We find out that he's moved on to, you know, this area, like this.
So this is a
this like tundra area.
Yeah, we haven't.
And he has a kid, even though he killed his first kid.
Yeah, and Calliope was his daughter. I don't know. It all blurs together for me.
But they're giving him like more of a character. Like, he has more...
And Keith, you refer to this tundra area. If I'm not mistaken, he is now fighting with the Norse gods of war, like Thor and Odin. And
That
I'll give them credit for. That's kind of cool. Like, he killed every Greek god there was, and the Roman gods are just the same as the Greek gods. Yeah, why not have him go around and just murder all these gods from
every religion?
I honestly
think it's a stroke of genius because, like, I ranked this, I think, number 5, and I wasn't excited for God of War at all before this. Like, if I just saw another God of War, I would have been like, I don't care.
Well, God of War Ascension came out after God of War 3, and I think no one gave
a shit. It was like, it sold like a fifth of what God of War 3 sold.
I think I bought it a year later for like $10.
Yeah, and God of War 3 was amazing, I thought. But it was also like a really good way to end that story. This, they're starting a new story, like you mentioned, but they're kind of changing everything. Like, it's much slower combat.
That's good.
The camera doesn't seem to be fixed anymore. It seems to be good. Like, if I were to compare it to something, to me, it kind of screamed Tomb Raider in that, like, you know, they're
soft
big.
Reboot.
Yeah, but no, in that, like, the world, it's like you're in this big area, but there's, like, you really only have one way to go, but you can kind of explore around, and, you know, you're not quite as, like, linearly focused as you were in the previous God of War games. I'm not sure if that's going to work, but I'm at least very intrigued.
I'm definitely going to play this.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll buy it when it comes out, which, by the way, we don't know when it's coming out. But it's definitely on my radar. It's a game I will enjoy playing, at least look forward to playing. But Keith, what is our number 3 game?
So this is a game that I had no idea about until I saw it in the Xbox conference. It had been announced previously, but it wasn't on my radar.
This is one of the only games I think that was on my radar and not yours before.
Yeah, E3. So I ranked it at number 2 out of all of every game. This is We Happy Few by, I think...
Compulsion
I want to say
games.
Compulsion Games. So their previous game was Contrast, which was one of the first free games for PlayStation 4 on PlayStation Plus. So I played that. It was a really simple game that used shadows, like, really in really unique ways to solve puzzles.
I wanted to play that game when I first heard of it. I didn't know that it came out and was called Contrast. I think maybe it was under a different working title.
But... yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe.
But it told a really good story. It was only like 3 hours long.
Classic free giveaway game.
Yeah. So, but We Happy Few, I didn't know what it was, but when I was done with it, I was like, holy shit, I want to play this. So it's set in like a 1960s alternate reality.
Yes.
Where we've got the society that takes these pills called Joy.
And you're in, I think, Britain.
Yeah.
Like Wales.
Yeah, they have that accent. But everyone takes these pills Joy to keep them happy. So
there was a quote very bad thing that happened, and that's all you know.
That's all you know.
I'm sure
you find out
more about it as the game goes on.
You don't know much, but it really has this Brave New World vibe, or like Equilibrium if you don't read books, where you're taking something to stay happy, and that's how the government are controlling these people. But
it even feels a little like BioShock to me.
So that's what I heard.
In the past.
Yes.
And it deals with, I don't know what themes it's going to explore. I'm excited to play it, to hear more about it. But you were saying they take this drug called Joy.
Yep.
And what are they called if they don't take Joy? It's like the mellow.
They're downers.
The downers.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the protagonist is a downer. Right. You're a downer, and you're just kind of trying to. So it's apparently a survival game. So you're just trying to kind of make your way through.
You have to escape.
Yeah.
This area.
This area. Who everyone wants you to take these Joy pills,
which I kind of like, because in any other survival game, game over means like zombies got you and tore you apart.
Yeah.
Gruesome death. In this one, it's like, game over, you're super happy now.
You're happy, you're on your meds.
Everyone's together with camaraderie and rainbows and smiley faces. And like, the goal in this one is to kind of keep your own ability to be sad and to experience emotion. So that's really cool.
So this one comes out July 26th, I believe.
That's really soon.
Yeah, I think it's actually early access on Xbox One. I think it's an Xbox One exclusive. I'm not entirely sure that it's not coming to PlayStation 4 and PC later. Actually, it's definitely coming to PC and Xbox One at the same time. But
yeah, wasn't that another development from...
Yeah, like so it seems like every Xbox One game now is also coming to Windows 10. Xbox is very much on the, you know, everyone play together. Let's stop limiting us by what console you own or what service you're using to play this game.
Trying to bridge that PC gaming versus console gaming.
Yeah, so they are making strides to become, you know, they have their plays are in motion. I kind of like where their heads are at. I'm not sure how I feel about where Nintendo's head is at. Our next game, I would have bet you hundreds of dollars that this would have been my number one game.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. It was your number two game, my number three game. Steve, what
we're
do
both
we
gonna play this, and we're both gonna love this.
Yes, yes.
This is the only, maybe the only Nintendo game anyone's been looking forward to for 2 years.
Well, it's literally the only playable game at E3 for Nintendo.
Yeah. They didn't debut Pokemon Moon footage?
No, they showed it, but I'm pretty sure the only playable game is this game.
This is The Legend of Zelda, : Breath of the Wild.
How are you feeling about that name, Steve?
It's better than Spirit Tracks? I don't know. Like it
isn't it a little bit weird to you?
Kind of, but like so was The Twilight Princess when that came out. Yeah. I don't know. Zelda always... As much faith as I don't have in Nintendo, I can't imagine this will be a bad game.
It definitely won't. I'm a little nervous that they're kind of adopting a few things that I think are already too prevalent in games, and they're kind of like, it's like an also-ran or whatever, instead of like their own unique...
So you think Zelda's now following the curve instead of forging its own path?
In some ways. I mean, obviously they're going to have their unique Nintendo twists. I just...
Motion controls and touchpads.
I was very excited for this game, and now I'm just kind of like, I'll play this when it's out.
Well, this is... What's very interesting about this game to me, and we've talked about this before, the NX is coming out in less than a year, and no one knows anything about it.
Yeah, all we know is it can play this game.
Right, and because of that, we won't get this game on Wii U until March 2017. This may end up being the last game ever released for the Wii U.
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Like, let's be realistic. Why would they release things on a console that's basically dead?
Unless the NX is somehow, like, this weird, not successor to the Wii U, but, like, I almost want to call it the Vita to the PS4. But
if
like,
they did that, it'd be fucking dead in the water.
Oh, I know.
But they're stupid enough to do that.
Right, right. So, I don't know if I'll play this on the NX because I don't know if I'll buy an NX. And more frustratingly, whenever the NX does come out or whenever it's clear what it is, I might need to take a while to consider whether or not I'm going to get one. So I may not buy this on Wii U right away, which kind of sucks because if it had just come out this year on Wii U, I would already own it and be playing it.
Yep.
I'm just, and we've ranted enough about Nintendo and their direction or lack thereof.
Yep.
Let's just talk about this game, because this is the lone bright spot for Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, so it did look good. Did you watch the trailer for it?
I think I did. At least I saw most of it.
Did you? So at the end, you see the sword in the ground.
So and I must not have watched it to the end.
Okay. I mean, if you saw gameplay, that's fine. I mean, the big thing here is that it's a huge open world. They keep, you know, hearkening back to that.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, okay, that's fine, but... size isn't everything.
No, it's not. There's a lot. So Breath of the Wild, the wilds kind of alludes to the fact that there's a ton of like animals, it seems, so that you can go hunting.
You can tame horses in this, and you go hunting. Like,
I don't know. I don't want it to be like, oh, kill six elk and then you can make a brown tunic that'll let you survive in the cold. I don't want
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I mean, so I read a little bit about this and like, you're like, you have so many options with like your clothing, and you can kind of collect things to make different tunics that'll help you get into really cold areas. So
that's kind of cool.
It is. I mean, Zelda's already done that convention before, where it's like you need the red tunic to go to the fire temple because it's too hot in there otherwise.
Right.
It seems like there's a lot of
underwater
layers of gradation in that, like, you know, rather than only having one red tunic, you might have eight tunics that help you against heat, and you need like level eight tunic to get into this specific
volcano, yeah.
Dungeon. We don't know how many dungeons there are. We know that they have 100 shrines, which are like mini dungeons.
That's kind of cool. This does sound like Tomb Raider.
To me, that's... I've got a lot of like Skyrim, a lot of Tomb Raider in this.
You know what else it reminds me of? To bring back a game we mentioned earlier is a little bit Shadow of the Colossus, because that is a gigantic open world where the only, I think it's 18 monsters there are the colossi, and you just...
But the open world is very bleak in that, right? There's not a lot going on.
There's not, but is there in this one? I haven't seen any footage of like happy little villagers.
Yeah, so I didn't see any of that. It kind of struck me as pretty barren. There are definitely camps with like boblikins or whatever the fuck those things are called.
I'm sure Tingle will poke his head in like, at some point.
I don't know. I'm excited, but I wanted a little more Zelda and a little less every other game that isn't Zelda.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem I had was that I didn't really see the dungeons. Like, the dungeons are what I like about Zelda more than anything. Like, obviously, I think this overworld looks cool.
But that's all we've seen is overworld and horses and... boomerangs. I mean, it's classic Zelda stuff. Like
But even in the trailer, that's all we saw. Why didn't I see like awesome like
a dragon?
Yeah, exactly.
A Ganondorf menacingly looking down. I'm with you.
So I want to hear your opinion on this one mechanic. Other than I will briefly mention, you can climb now and you can jump, which is cool.
Also Tomb Raidery.
Yes, you can't. You don't get hearts anymore. You have to collect food, and then you can get recipes and make dishes that you can eat to replenish a certain amount of hearts. I think that is kind of, in a nutshell, is like what I'm kind of skeptical about in this game.
The listeners obviously can't see me, but I'm just shaking my head a little slowly. Pieces of heart and getting hearts when you cut down pots and grass was just such a major part of Zelda from the very beginning all the way through presumably Skyward Sword. I still haven't played that admission on my part. I don't know. What are they going for? In general, what is Nintendo going for? I don't know.
They really wanted to change up the formula. The one thing I do think is pretty cool is like, You know how in the original Legend of Zelda, you can kind of go anywhere and you can do the temples in any order, from my understanding. I didn't really play that game.
It's not quite any order, but yes.
But yeah, so that's kind of what they're going for here. Like, you can go into areas and realize you're way too underleveled. You can't do any damage. Like, and there's more freedom here. I don't want it to be at the expense of what makes a Zelda game great.
All right. Well, we're a little worried about that game, but let's move on to a game that we're both looking forward to very much. This was your number one overall game. This was my number three game at E3, and that says a lot, because I am looking forward to some of these games. Keith, what do we have?
This is South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
The Fractured Butthole.
Yes, not the butthole, butthole.
The butt with one T, hole with a W.
Yeah, so I think... the name is so fucking clever.
Like, it's great. And it's also Marvel Civil War.
Yeah, like this, they're stealing the Civil War storyline.
And I love that, because the Stick of Truth was awesome. I liked it a lot. It's probably your favorite like RPG of all time.
It's definitely my favorite RPG.
I loved that game. It was such a South Park game, the Stick of Truth. It felt so true to the show and the characters and all the in-jokes from the last... God, 15, 20 seasons of that show. I like that they're changing it up, because that game was all about, you know, sort of, not necessarily a Lord of the Rings ripoff, but a lot of the themes were kind of fantasy, you know. They're this time around, they're all going with their superhero identities.
Yeah.
The Coon.
Yeah.
Mintberry Crunch.
Mintberry Crunch. Mysterion. Kyle's a kite. but I don't remember
the human kite.
I think the human kite. Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned the Stick of Truth, because in that game you play as the new kid.
Right.
And you're still the new kid because this is a day after the Stick of Truth.
Really?
In the beginning, Cartman makes fun of you because you're wearing the crown because you kind of became the king of South Park at the end of the Stick of Truth.
That's amazing.
And then the next day he makes fun of you because you're not playing a fantasy anymore. You're playing superheroes. And he's like, you just, you know.
Yeah.
And
like, you're behind the times.
He dresses him down in a way that only Cartman can.
Yes.
So you're still the new kid. You still get to customize him.
Douchebag.
Yeah. And if you haven't played the Stick of Truth, it comes for free if you pre-order this game on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Digitally.
If you pre-order this game physically, you get the digital Stick of Truth, but you don't get it till December 6th when this game comes out. If you pre-order it or pre-purchase it digitally, you get the game now, which is awesome. I want this game on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. It looks mostly the same, and I don't really want it to change very much.
No, because it looks like the show looks, which is...
Yeah, that is... Yeah, exactly. But, like, in the Fractured But Whole, like, the graphics are...
I love
are,
the way we emphasize that, yeah, as we say it.
The graphics are the same, which is the way it should be. The mechanics are mostly the same. It looks like they've added in, like... your ability to move during fights, so you could get behind cover, you could get behind your enemy, which is like, you know, a nice little addition.
And it's still a turn-based RPG.
It is. So they haven't complicated it too much.
I loved that about.
Yeah, I love this game because it was like a 10-hour RPG. I'm hoping that this one's maybe 15. I don't want it to be too long.
Yeah. With maybe optional content that lets you go to 20 or 25.
The one cool thing I saw is that, like, your classes, there are like 12 hero classes. And from there are like subclasses where you can kind of mix and match some of the abilities. So it's not quite as, you know, when you pick Jew in the Stick of Truth, you kind of have
four classes.
Yeah. Right? You could kind of have like a few moves. Like, you could choose between a few. Like, I had the Circumcise, I think, which is where you just cut a dude's penis. It looks awesome. I'm in it for the story, though. Like,
The story, the jokes.
The jokes.
South Park wit.
But this is the only thing where I'm like, this is a must pre-order for me because I want the Stick of Truth. I think that's like the best pre-order bonus that's ever been for there's ever been for a game.
That's pretty good. I mean, and this isn't uncommon for new games to come out with the old game
as
a free. Like, I think Bayonetta, when it came out on the Wii U, Bayonetta 2, I should say,
yeah,
came with Bayonetta.
Well, that was more of the $60 version of the game came with Bayonetta, but then they later released a $40 version of it without Bayonetta.
Right, so pick your poison.
Yeah,
but yeah, this game looks awesome. I have one question because I haven't seen gameplay about it. My gameplay footage, I just saw the fun trailer where they're riffing on Marvel and
which
DC.
Is like one of the better trailers I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, like a little too on the nose, but just
still
perfect.
Perfectly South Park,
because we were just saying, you and me and Kevin, just how over superheroes we are at this point. And I love that South Park is too. And
yeah,
I'd like to see where they're gonna go with it.
Yeah.
I have about this game. My biggest complaint about the Stick of Truth was that your party size was two at any given point in time. And, you know, maybe it's the Final Fantasy fan in me. I like a nice party size of three, four, maybe even five. I like a nice meaty party where I don't have to swap out Cartman for Kenny.
So if I'm being honest, I don't really remember. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if there's more than two. They didn't mention it, and they probably would have mentioned it. We're gonna have to watch the trailer again. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm
used to watch the trailer.
I think this is still, you know, the best thing I saw at E3. I'm excited that this is our number one. That was our list of top 10 games from E3. There's a lot of other intriguing games that didn't make our list. But
like, you and I each have other games in our top five or six.
We'll leave that for the listeners to search out themselves.
Absolutely.
Follow us on Game Time Bro. Follow us at Game Time Bro on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Keith.
And I'm Steve.
Bro off.